In a few minutes, why a minimum wage worker may not be there to help you out today. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. First, two big market stories, starting with news this morning that the U.S. economy grew by the most in 2 years. Gross domestic product was revised upward from an annual rate of 2.9% published before the election to 3.2% now. This covers July through September. Let's check in with Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Good morning to you.
Good morning, David.
So the economy ticking along, at least according to these statistics.
Well, this is the second estimate of how the economy is doing. The third one will come at the end of December, and you can see the trend here. It's getting stronger and stronger on the estimates. We're looking at personal consumption expenditures really high. That's great. That means the consumer is back in the market here. Looking at wages up, gross domestic income, a real positive here. People have more coins in the jeans. And if you look at the big contributors, the financials and the banks are real strong contributors here, too. So we're in a very good trend here for some strong growth for the year 2016.
Now, if you thought, wait, we got GDP just before the election, that was the first estimate. Now there's a revision, and then they revise it again?
More data comes in. You know, these are just estimates. All the data comes in from different sources. And so they refine it. So there are three of them, and then you have the final definitive, how much did the economy grow in the year 2016?
It's all a construct. We all live in the GDP matrix, but that's a discussion for a different time. Here's something. Light crude oil, the benchmark price in New York, is down 3.6% as you and I speak. OPEC, the oil producers cartel, is meeting in Vienna this week. Sounds like they're not headed toward a deal, maybe?
Well, the chronically hopeful were saying that this time it is going to work, and OPEC's now, the huge revision was they said the magic hand of the market will rebalance itself even without agreements. It's impossible. There can be no rebalancing simply because huge oil inventory is still out there. Even with a hugely cold winter, it's unlikely to even dent it much. Moreover, the United States is the number two producer of energy now in the world. And as soon as you get any firming in prices, we turn on the spigot and start producing heavily.
Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company also follows these energy markets quite closely. Julie, thank you.
You bet.
The first disclosures now on a two-year-old federal rule about college students finding gainful employment. This was aimed at career training programs where graduates don't earn enough to pay off student loans. One of the largest for-profit colleges, the University of Phoenix, says programs that account for about one in six of its students failed the new standards. From the Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
A career education program is considered failing if its graduates have to spend more than a certain amount of their income paying back their loans, fail 2 out of 3 consecutive years, and lose eligibility for federal financial aid. In a filing last week, the Apollo Group, which owns the University of Phoenix, didn't say which of its programs failed. But analyst Jeff Silber with BMO Capital Markets says they're likely two-year programs.
Where you might have got a generic associate in business and you're not necessarily getting a good job with just an associate's degree, you need a bachelor's degree.
Apollo says by next month, it won't enroll new students in any of the failing programs. Ben Miller with the Center for American Progress says that's much easier than trying to fix them.
Basically, you can either lower the debt levels that your students have, or you can make the program better so they get better, higher paying jobs.
Current students will be allowed to finish, with possible financial help from the university, a cost the company says could be substantial. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
We've got a whole new season of Codebreaker, where radio journalism meets the Twilight Zone. This season, we got one question in mind: can it save us? Subscribe right now on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Strikes and protests are ramping up in more than 300 U.S. cities today, part of what's called Fight for 15, a national push to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. On Broadway in New York City this morning, 26 protesters were arrested. Police said they were blocking the street. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace is following the nationwide action. Morning, Lewis.
Morning.
So where's the focus here?
So the Fight for 15, when it started 4 years ago, focused on fast food and retail workers. Now it's expanded to airport workers, janitors, wheelchair attendants, baggage handlers are all protesting wages and conditions. Chicago O'Hare and Logan in Boston are some of the airports that could see disruption today. Uber drivers in 19 different cities are reportedly joining the fight as well.
They're fighting for a higher minimum wage. What's their thesis?
Minimum wages in a lot of places mean you can be working full-time or multiple jobs and living in poverty to support a family. And the general argument against raising the minimum wage tends to come from business owners who say it would force them to cut jobs. Meanwhile, wages have been gradually going up around the country. Some credit goes to a tightening labor market, of course, but some people also credit cities and states that have passed higher minimum wages in the last couple years.
And what does President-elect Trump think about a minimum wage hike?
He has said he opposes raising the minimum wage, and he has also said he supports it. In any case, the Fight for 15 movement has been really critical of Trump. This is a group that's largely led by people of color and young people who condemn his ideas about immigration and policing.
Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thank you. And General Motors is working on a super cruise control system that will be another step towards self-driving cars. But one proposed feature has highway safety regulators concerned. GM system would bug you if you're zoning out at the wheel. If it senses a non-responsive driver, Super Cruise slows the car to a halt. But the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is worried about the car coasting to a stop right in the travel lane and has written to GM about this. GM says safety is the top priority. Think about it. If you're tooling along in semi-robot mode without having to steer, might you be more inclined to nod off? How about a little needle that comes out and jabs you with caffeine? Why, I am not an automotive engineer. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.